I was a little 10-year-old boy. I loved building model airplanes. Now, nobody ever taught me how to fly one. So I could build it and put that little U-line on it and get that little prop going and get that thing started. And I'd grab hold of that line, and I didn't know that you're supposed to just keep your arm stiff and just raise it up and down. I thought you had to do this and that to raise the elevator. And every time I'd do this, it'd make one loop, shoo, crash. That's all I could get out of one of them. Nobody ever taught me how. I crashed every one of them. I thought, boy, I'd buy me another one, and I'd build it, and I'd get out there, and I'd have my sister or something hold it out there, and I'd say, okay, sis, turn it loose. She'd turn it loose. I'd pull up, and it'd say, whoom, crash. She said, you don't get very far with those. And I thought, well, maybe I'm doing something wrong. So one day I asked somebody how to fly an airplane. And they told me it's real simple. Said those little controls are real delicate back there, so you just have to raise your arm up and down. Said you don't twist your wrist at all. And so I thought, hey. So I let my sis, after I got it running, hold it. And I helped my arm straighten. I said, turn it loose, sis. And she did. And I raised it up about like that, and it went off the ground. And it went all the way around. It went right at the end of that string. I thought, hey, I raised it up a little. It stayed right at the end of that string. I thought, man, this is great. Isn't it amazing what you can do with knowledge? I made several rounds before I crashed that one. How would you like to get into a DC-8 with me if I had never been trained how to fly an airplane and say, we're going to go somewhere, huh? Now, if I've had all the years of experience and all the training and I was doing this every day like I used to, you wouldn't mind going with me, right? Yeah, because I'm trained. Well, what happens to us today? We're not trained too well in God's Word. We don't read the owner's manual very well, so we crash our lives pretty quick. We pull up the wrong way and uh-oh, and we crash, don't we? Almost crashed right there, didn't I? Okay, let's go to Matthew 19:19. Matthew 19:19. Matthew 19:19. We're going to talk about a lot of love today. Honor your father and your mother. Ooh, I think about a while ago when Ruth and her daughter and her son came in. I mean, I said something about, look, when he said something, I spoke to him, and I said, oh, who's that good-looking mother walking in right behind you? And he said, that's my good-looking mother. Now, is he honoring his mama? Yes, he is. That's what men are supposed to do to their mamas. They're supposed to honor their mothers and fathers. Is that right? Now, then, there's a promise that goes with that. If you honor your mother and father, your life will be long on the earth. See, now there's another side of that too, isn't there? If you don't honor your mother and father, your life will be short. See, we fail to see that. But if God made that as a commandment in His Word, if you do not honor your mother and father, you're shortening your life. But He says, honor your father and your mother and love your neighbor as yourself. Now then, is it a command right there for you to love yourself? Is that what God said? Love yourself? Is that what He said? So if I ever ask you, do you love yourself? What's going to be your answer? Absolutely. Why do you love yourself? Who made you? Jesus made you. Now, does He make junk? No, not at all. Not at all. He doesn't make junk at all. And if He commanded you to love yourself, now that's not just for the girls. This is for guys too. If the Lord says, I command you to love yourself, you know, if you're having trouble loving yourself, Cheryl has the best answer to that I've ever seen. She tells women all the time, said, you know, you're a princess, you're royalty, you're a daughter of the King, you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ, you're more than a conqueror. Wow, when you begin to see yourself like that, wow, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Nothing's impossible to them that believe. What can you do with scriptures like that? Anything. That's exactly right. And if you're having trouble with this, you get up in the morning in your own privacy of your own home, and you get before the mirror, if you're a woman or a man and you're having trouble, and you look in there and you say, boy, God, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wow. Look at that hunk of woman, or look at that hunk of man you've made here. Whoa, isn't he something? You've made me, Lord, I can do all things. I'm a son of God. I'm a joint heir with the King. Yeah, in my flesh, I may not be much. But with you and me, with me and you together, Lord, there ain't nothing me and you can't do today. Is that the way we should talk? Absolutely right. Do you think that pleases the King? Oh, yeah. Yeah. He wants to be glorified through you. The Lord clearly said there, love your neighbor as yourself. If he told you to love your neighbor, are you supposed to love your neighbor? Does that include talking about your neighbor? Oh, it doesn't. So why do we do that so much? Why do people do that? They obviously haven't read the owner's manual, right? You're supposed to love your neighbor. There was a guy that used to work out there at the airport where I worked, and he had a neighbor down the street. Of course, this guy was far from being a Christian. I will have to say that. But he had a neighbor down the street that done some things he didn't like, and he just went down there one day and beat him up. I mean, just beat him up. You know, they absolutely had a police officer come down and arrest him and took him to jail. Now, you see what happens when you don't do what God says, right? But if you're not trained and you're not a Christian, you don't know what to do. So what are you going to do? What the flesh tells you to do. Go down there and beat him up. That's the flesh. Does that sound like the flesh? Of course. But the Lord tells you and me as Christians, we are to love our neighbor as ourself. Now, it makes no difference if he's a Christian or not, right? If he's the meanest guy in town, you're still supposed to love him. Supposed to walk in love. Sometimes that's hard to do. That's what the King says. Matthew 22:37. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your man. This is the first and the greatest commandment." Now, this is a must. He commands every man and every woman to love him first. And almost nobody does that. We put everything in the world before God. If you don't believe that, you go to the average home today, and the average home has a television set, or two, or three, or four, or five, or six. Do y'all know where I'm coming from? I went one day to minister to a man that was having a problem with his health. And he was a churchgoer, supposedly, once in a while. But that day that I was supposed to go minister to him, his wife said he didn't come to church today. He's at home. I said, okay. Says, he still want me to come? She said, yes, he wants you to come. I said, okay. So I went. And when I got there and I walked into his house, he had the Dallas newspaper laying on the table, scattered out all over the place. And he had three television sets in the same den with three different sets of football games on. And you want to know why this guy's sick? Who is he putting first today? Football. In fact, you know what his wife had to say about it when I finally got to leave? She followed me out to the car. She said, Thurman, don't feel bad. If I were to die during football season, he wouldn't miss me till football season was over. Does that sound like he's eat up with football? Does that sound like maybe he might be putting God first some of the time? It doesn't sound like at all, does it, brother? He sure put football first, though, isn't he? Three sets of televisions, and all of them had a different football game on it. I couldn't believe this. I said, how in the world do you keep up with all this? Oh, he said, it's tough, and he said, I want to watch them all. I said, could we turn these off and talk about God's word? Oh, he said, we can't do that till after the football games are over. I said, okay, well, then I'll just talk to you a couple of minutes and I'm gone, because I ain't going to say all either watch them crazy football games. I left. And what happens to people like that? They usually stay sick. They usually stay sick. Now, what did the Lord say there? You love me once in a while or when you feel like it? Well, he said, you must love me. Is that what he said? You must put me first. Well, if he tells us and commands us to do this and we don't do it, do you reckon there's going to be a consequence? Absolutely. There's going to be a consequence. Now, the beautiful part about God is he's long-suffering and patient and merciful. And sometimes he lets us have 5, 10, 20, 30 years of this nonsense. And do you know when a guy, especially a man I'm talking about now, if a man's going to church some, he says he's a Christian, and he's supposedly being a good guy to his wife and his children and all those things, but he hardly ever goes to church with her, maybe once or twice a month. The rest of the time he's either footballing or he's on the lake or he's on the golf course. He's doing something, but he doesn't have time for God. But he's got a good job, pays lots of money, his house payments are made, his car payments are all made, you know, and he's got groceries and he's got money in the bank and everything's. If he goes along 10, 20, 30 years and you talk to him about Jesus and he's not interested. But then one day, after 20 years or 30 years of disobedience, God strikes him with some kind of serious sickness. Ooh, he gets to feeling bad. And every time I think about this story, I think about this young man that came to my church one time. I told a story like this, and after church was over, he came up and he said, "Sir, I'm going to tell you my story." He said, "When I was in my late 20s, I heard God's voice the first time in my life. God says, 'Son, I've called you to be one of my pastors.'" He says, "God, if there's anything I'm not going to be, it's a preacher." And he said, God never said another word. So he said, "I thought I'm off the hook." So he said, a year later, I get to feeling real bad. I go into the hospital for a checkup, and they come out with a diagnosis. "You have a very rapid growing serious disease. You have about 6 to 8 weeks to live." He said, "I hadn't prayed in the last year." All of a sudden, he's in the Word and he's praying. Because if the doctor tells you, "I'm sorry, it's terminal, you got 6 to 8 weeks," there ain't no use to go back to another doctor, is there? So there's only one doctor, and that's Jesus. And now then he's on Jesus' doorstep and he begins to cry out to the Lord, "Lord." And he said, all of a sudden, after I cried out for almost a whole day, he said, all of a sudden I hear the Lord say, "Oh, now then, you want to hear from me?" He said, "Lord, yeah." He said, "Lord, that doctor said I ain't going to live but a couple more months." He said, "Lord, I'm a young man." He said, the Lord said, "I called you to be a preacher and you turned me down." So he said, if you're not going to produce fruit, like I said, then I'm going to cut your tree down. I don't need you.
We are going to stop for today, but we will continue with this teaching tomorrow. If you would like to have this teaching titled, "Love Yourself, God Commands It," in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the TLSM website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.